Good morning. If you would, open up your Bibles to Psalms chapter 23. Open up your bulletin to that center page. I've got a couple things I'd like to share with you. If you are online, you can get the sermon notes from our website and be able to follow along as we go through this morning. There's a couple things that I want to share with you as we get started. Number one, the last two weeks, we've been talking about kind of the vision, some of the direction that we need to go. The first week, we talked about living by faith and that desire for us to get out of our comfort zone, for let God lead us and guide us in our life. And then last week, we talked about the five rings, five things that we as a congregation really need to focus on and strive for in this new year. And so let me just recap those real quickly with you, because those are important things that we need to continue to monitor and grow in and work in faith through these five rings. The first one was leadership. And I want to remind you about our leadership, our elders and our deacons, the ways that they're serving and trying to minister through this unusual time. I want to encourage our congregation to pray for them and praise them. I want words of affirmation and appreciation for the work that they're doing, the ideas that they're bringing forth, the way that they are striving to keep us together as a family. I know that as we go through this transition time, there are going to be some ideas that come to your mind that might be really beneficial, that you might have questions about, well, why are we doing this or that? And then you come to them, and it may seem like an accusation. It might be kind of a strong question, but if we have a relationship of praise, if we have built up conversation that is on appreciation, those words of encouragement or correction will come very naturally. The second ring that we looked at was finance. This idea that we are going to give generously. And I loved that picture, and thank you for putting that into our thoughts today, Jerry, of Jim Rackley, the Rackleys, and their service to this church, their example for who they are. For what God has given to us, we want to give back to be a blessing to the world. And so, how do we do that living by faith? How can we give faithfully? Well, that starts with some of our budget and our resources, but that's also in other things too, that if you look in your bulletins on the 18th, we're going to have a blood drive. And so participating in that could be a great way to give and to serve. The third ring was family life. This is the idea about me and my relationship with God, my household, the Huddleston household, and our relationship with God, the South Fork family, and our relationship to one another, and our relationship to God. This is an important time for us to be connected, to strive to be more connected while we are pushed apart, while we are distanced, while we are struggling for our relationships, as we are online, as we are unable to meet and mingle like we normally would. And so we've set some parameters. First service, those that are 50 and older, come and be a part of that. We're asking everyone to wear their masks throughout our service. We've got social distancing. We've actually given some space up here to keep everyone safe from any of the speakers that might be speaking. We ask that you have hand sanitizer, that you're wearing a mask, all these things to help give us the opportunity to be safe in our worship service. And as we see the future coming, as we see maybe the possibility of some of these restrictions changing or lessening in the coming months, I don't know what the timeline is. I don't know exactly how this is going to look. But I want to challenge us to finish strong. I want us to be faithful in our work and worship together. I want us to be practicing living by faith first with our family. So let's practice our faith in worship, in gathering. Let that be our first example of faith, not some of these other outings. Let our greatest example of faith be when we gather to worship or when we step back into gathering with one another. Let that really speak to us. Now, I know that our worship service, while we're here, let me just talk about that real briefly, is unique. I mean, this is a different time. And Lord willing, in just a few months few whatevers, our auditorium is going to be finished. And then we will have a song leader. Then we will have congregational singing like we remember. But right now we are fully online. And the way that our system is set up, those that are online would only hear one individual. And that may not be our best foot forward. And so we have this recorded music that we are singing along to. Now, recorded music is not ideal. I get it. It helps us learn a song like we did today, but it's difficult for us to feel that presence when we don't have a leader in front of us. This idea of our worship is kind of challenging to us. And I've heard several people say, yeah, I know we're having to do these recorded songs, but we do the same five songs over and over again. Have you heard that before? Some of you, well, you're wrong. We've got more than 50 songs in our bank. We've listened, we've learned, we've participated in worship over these last 50 weeks. We've learned 50 different songs, or we've made 50 different videos and songs. Now, why do we have this? Why don't we have 200 songs in our library? Well, number one, there is a licensing. Because we are online, because we're streaming out into the world, we are only able to use certain songs or certain versions of songs, or we have to pay really high price royalties and fees. So in order to help our congregation maintain a balance and be wise in our money, we've selected a certain range of songs that we're going to use. Now, of those songs, there's only a certain number of groups, of choirs, of praise teams that have recorded music. Now, there's a wide variety of stuff out there. And if you go out and listen, you may find some great choral group rendition of a song. But it may not be what we want it to be for our congregational singing. And so we have to find the right version of the song for us to be able to sing, right? And so that limits what we do. That takes a lot of time to be able to process through. And so we have a database of 50 songs. We are continuing to grow that, and I appreciate your interest and desire for us to have that full worship experience like we remember. But thank you for your patience in that. Speaking about our facility, we are continuing to work through that. And I wish I could explain all the things that are going on, but I just don't understand all the little setbacks and steps that we're making. We are working with our city to get a permit so that we can redo our ceiling in there. We have built plans. We've drawn up stuff. We've had team meetings. We've met with the professionals. And now we're talking to our city about getting the permit. And the city has come back this last week. This is one of the comebacks that they came to us and said, in order to redo your ceiling, we need to put a new water valve in between the street and our church building. Now, I don't know why a water valve is important for our church, but the city says that it's important, and in order for us to go forward in that, we've spent this last week working on trying to figure out where to put this water valve, who's going to be able to do it, how much is it going to cost, and when can we get that project started. And we are continuing to move forward in that. So we are back on track to get our permit, and I just want to ask you, pray so that this permit process will be through and that we will be able to start our work. Now, think about this for just a moment. You remember those neighborhood development projects that have happened around you, right? That one day all the trees, all the grass was cut down, everything started to get level, and those tractors and machines were out there working, and you thought, wow, this is going to be really neat, or, oh, they're coming into my neighborhood, or whatever that is that you were thinking. And then suddenly, it all stopped. And that field just sat there for weeks, months, maybe even years, and it felt like nothing was really happening. Maybe somebody would come out there and stake some stakes. Maybe every once in a while someone would come out there and work, and it looked like they're starting to build some roads, but the development was slow and nothing really happened. And then one day you drive by and there's a construction group out there and one house is starting to go up, and the next day you drive by and now it's a full neighborhood and people are living there, and you think, wow, how did that happen? The same thing is happening over here in our auditorium. It seems like nothing is happening, but progress is being made. It's these little things behind the scene. Continue to pray for us as we move forward in that opportunity. And the fifth ring that I want to remind us of real quick is this idea of outreach, our connection with those that are not worshiping and in a relationship with God. We ask each other to write down a list of 10 people that we're going to be praying for on a daily basis, that we're going to be spending time thinking and praying about them and their relationship, our connection with them and their relationship with God Almighty. And then we are going to invite them to come join us in worship. We are going to invite them to come to our home for a meal. We are going to connect them with other believers so that they can begin to build relationships with other Christians. This is going to be an opportunity for us to connect and bless those around us. This last week, I was out meeting with Gustavo. He's the minister at the Brewer Road Church of Christ. And I was sharing with him about our outreach, an opportunity just for that blood drive, to invite people, our church family and our friends and family, co-workers, to come and give blood. Let that just be a shared moment. And he said, wow, that's great. Can we join? Can I share that with my congregation? I said, yes, please invite them and let them invite their friends and family. Let's make this a wonderful opportunity. And he said, now, would you guys be interested? We're doing this service project for new believers in Mexico. And down in Mexico, they have connected with several churches, and these young people that are coming to Christ are coming in out of these villages, coming into the cities, and they're starting to learn about Christ. They're giving their life over. And as they try to work with them in all areas of their life, spiritual and physical, they're realizing that getting them a job is difficult. And so one of the challenges is the way that they dress. And so getting them proper work clothes. And so they're doing a clothes drive over this month. Throughout March, they're going to be collecting slacks and khakis, dress shirts, the appropriate dress wear for men and women. So we're looking for new or gently used items. Please don't bring your old rags, things that you might be using to dust off or wash your windows, but use something. Give something that would be of value that they could be able to take and give to these new believers as they're looking for their jobs, as they're trying to help them in their community. I think that would be a great way for us to partner with Brewer Road. Now, all of these five rings lead us towards a vision of what might be, what could be in our world. And sometimes it gives us a desire for that, a holy hunger for that. And we get excited about that. But do you remember that commercial from Snickers that sometimes when you're hungry, you're not yourself and you become hangry? I think the same thing can happen to us when we are spiritually hungry, when we have that holy hunger. We're excited about what we could do as an outreach. We're excited about this community that we could connect with, and we start to push against one another. We get a little bit grumpy, a little bit grouchy with each other, and it is difficult for our relationship. And so I want to remind us to really focus on God and what God is leading us to. And so I want you to see this passage in Psalms 23 in just a moment, as a great picture and a direction of our holy hunger. Click over to the next slide for me real quick, and I want us to see this question. What is our definition? How do we define life? We have the good, better, and the best. We know that in life, many of us would talk about the good life. This is the things that we have, the resources, the accumulation of wealth or position, of power or fame. That's the good life. I wish I could have that good life like so-and-so because I want to be able to take a vacation like them. I wish I could have the good life because they've just bought into a neighborhood that I've always been wishing for. They have the good life because they got a car that I've been hoping for. Good is often our definition of the material things of our life. But we know that there's something better. In fact, even in our world, non-religious individuals will talk about the accumulation of things and money and position as good, but our relationships as better. You remember that, I don't know if you remember, there's a country song called The Good Stuff, where this young man comes to a bar. He's been frustrated. Him and his young wife are in some sort of feud, and they are locking heads. And so he tries to escape, and he comes in and he just asks, give me something. And the bartender realizes what was going on. The bartender had just recently lost his wife, and so he pours him a glass of milk and begins to tell him about the value of his wife, all the things that he's missing about the one who's passed away. And while you may be focused on this frustration, you're overlooking this better thing of life. So go back to her. Hold on to her. That's the good stuff. So we have good, the better, and even the best. Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it what? Abundantly. Jesus doesn't come to hem us in or to lock us down. Jesus doesn't come to give us restrictions just so that we would be in prison. No, Jesus comes to give us freedom and life abundantly. And so when we focus on the good, the better, and the best of our life, it gives us a vision in the direction that we should be going. I want us to put that into our mind. What is the best vision for us? And in Psalms chapter 23, we see this beautiful picture of God. Listen to these words, and I want you to write down some things that grab your attention. I want you to listen to this for the first time again. Psalms 23, we've heard this and we know this, maybe even by memory. Think about some of these things. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely Your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Imagine that being a collage of God's great travel pictures of what is to come. In this short little chapter, in this short little song, there are some pictures that really speak to our soul. That is the Holy Spirit quickening within our life. It's calling us to what God is driving us towards. If God is our shepherd, He is leading us towards something. And in our lives, we recognize that we have been filling our lives with stuff that is of no value. It does not quench our thirst. It does not give us nourishment. It only leads us to true famine. Notice what God says in this beautiful chapter. What comes alive to you? What do you see as a value in your life? Could it be the rest? Perhaps it's the protection. Maybe it is the presence of God through the difficult moments of life. Psalms 23 gives us a great picture of what God desires. And as we see what that looks like, we are given an opportunity to move, to shift, to change, to grow towards that, or we can run after our own. He leads me beside still waters. How many of us desire for that rest? But this afternoon, when we get a chance to be with God in solitude and quietness, we will turn the TV on. We will fill our lives with so much other junk that we continue to be hungry for Him. God's Word is leading and guiding us. And I want to share with you four verses real quick that will give us some protection, that will give us guidance to help us understand what this really is all about. In Luke chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus says, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." You could take that word bread and you could substitute it for a variety of things. Man cannot live by money alone. Man cannot live by fame alone. Man cannot live by whatever we might put in our place as our eternal, our great desire in life. Man cannot live by bread alone. Jesus is referring to a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, in which God reminds the Israelites when they were out in the desert. He says, "He humbled you, causing you hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." God brings the Israelites to this desert point where they have no resources, where they have no opportunity, and He provides for them everything that they need. That is the soul dependence that Jesus is saying. Man cannot live on bread alone. Jesus would continue on in John chapter 4, verse 34. He would help us to understand what this really means. He says, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to finish His work." Paul would see the frustration, the confusion, the mistakes of mankind over and over again. And so Philippians chapter 3, verse 18 and 19 shares this. It says, "For I've often told you before, and I'm now telling you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is their own shame. Their mind is set on earthly things. Brothers and sisters, who are we? Are we the Lord's? Are we in his flock? Are we feasting on him? Every word that comes from his mouth, is that our sustenance? Or are we filling our lives with the junk and the misabuse of this world? David would write in Psalms 34, verse 8, "Taste or test and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he who takes refuge in him." This week in our bulletins, right behind the sermon notes, there's an opportunity for us to continue on with this study. Readings for Monday through Saturday. Questions for you and your family to discuss and to study together. I hope for the next 21 days we will really feast on this idea of what it is to hunger after God. Let me share one more thing with you as we wrap up. There's a story in the Bible of a young man who was a devout religious man. He comes to Jesus and he asks this question: "What must I do to earn eternal life?" Jesus' response is very simple. You must do these commands, and he lists off several things. Honor your father and mother. I want you to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. Jesus gives him these words, and he says, "I've done all of those things since I was a young boy. What else do I need to do to earn eternal life?" Two times this man asks this question, a sincere question to the Messiah, desiring for this relationship with God eternal. And in this moment, Jesus turns back to him. He says this one thing. In fact, there's just one thing that you lack. And as I often read that, this mirror comes up in my mind, reflecting back to my life. And Jesus says, "There's one thing that you lack." And I get to look into the mirror and say, "That's the one thing that I want to keep, God. That's the one thing that I think fills me up, God." Or I get to say, "You are the Lord. You know what's best. Your life is right, healthy, and abundant. There's one thing that you lack." And sometimes our holy hunger leads us to this point that we get to decide, are we going to give up these things that have no value in our life? Only distraction, only malnourishment, only destruction. Or are we going to hold on to the Word, Spirit, God in our lives? I want to challenge you to think and pray about that. If you need some counsel, our elders are standing by. They would love to talk with you and lead you and guide you today. In just a few moments, you're going to be going to your virtual foyer chat, an opportunity to share and to pray. Our office is open throughout the week, and if you would like to pray or to study or have counseling, that opportunity is available as well. Whatever we can do to help lead us towards that holy hunger so that God will fill our lives, let that be known. Let's stand together. Let's sing the song as a word of encouragement to one another.
Lord, take my